Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is an RNZ podcast.
Kia ora and a big welcome to Elemental. I'm Alan Blackman from the Auckland University of Technology.
And I'm Alison Balance. In this RNZ podcast, we are making our way around the world of the chemical elements. We're doing it in 96 episodes rather than in 80 days. And we've already visited America and Europe. France we went to twice with francium and gallium. And now in episode 31, we're in Germany. So what's the story with germanium?
Well, germanium, very, very important to do with things in our current day world. So really, germanium kickstarted the world of electrical semiconductors and transistors. So that all started in the late 1940s and went through to about the early 1970s before it was knocked off its perch by silicon.
Ah, vital stats, please.
Okay, germanium, obviously the name coming from Germania, and that's the Latin name for Germany. Chemical symbol GE, atomic number 32, which kind of puts it a little bit to the right-hand side of the periodic table and about halfway down. And it's not a metal, and it's not a non-metal, it's a metalloid.
So why does its name end in IUM? It's just one of those things?
Yes, yes. It's one of the rule breakers, I guess. There are many exceptions to this rule, but there's helium, for example, selenium, tellurium, a lot of elements, or a few elements anyway, that end in IUM but are not metals themselves. The history of germanium, very, very interesting. It was one of the elements that was predicted by Mendeleev, just like gallium, which we talked about a few episodes ago. Mendeleev predicted that there had to be an element, an unknown element, sitting between silicon and tin in group 14 of the periodic table. And remember, this was in 1869. And germanium, this new element, was discovered in 1886. And again, to show the genius of Mendeleev, it had all the predicted properties that Mendeleev said that it would have. So this was one of the elements that really confirmed the predictive properties of Mendeleev's periodic table.
Go that man. He was good, wasn't he?
He really was. He was a genius. The more I go through all this stuff, the higher and higher regard I hold him in. He really was fantastic.
Now, germanium, where do we find it?
You generally find it in with zinc ores, and the primary zinc ore is a thing called sphalerite, which is a zinc sulfide material.
You said it had a role as a semiconductor. Can you tell me a bit more about that, please?
Well, I can certainly try. This is more sort of the physics side of things, but a semiconductor is essentially a material that doesn't really conduct very well, so it's got intrinsically low conductivity, but then you can alter that conductivity by doing a number of things. The first is increasing the temperature, and that increases the conductivity of the material. And what you can also do is put small amounts of other elements into there, and we call this doping. So you can dope your semiconductor material with other elements, and again, that leads to an increase in conductivity. And germanium was such a big deal in the 1940s because it was used in the first transistor, and that was in 1947, and that won its inventors a Nobel Prize in Physics in 1956. So transistors really revolutionized the whole field of electronics, and was used, as I said before, right up until sort of the 60s, 70s, primarily because it was pretty cheap and you didn't have to refine it that much. It didn't have to be all that pure in order to be used in transistors. However, it has been superseded by silicon because people figured out ways to make super pure silicon. So that's really, really overtaken germanium now, and it's not used really anymore in those sorts of fields.
Well, all I can say is thank goodness for transistors, because it did certainly a while ago give us things like cheap radios, calculators, computers, all those really useful things. But so thank you, germanium, for starting that. But now that it's been superseded by silicon, where does that leave germanium? Is it still useful for us?
Well, I guess like all of the other elements on the periodic table, it's useful for at least one thing. So now we find germanium used particularly in optical fibres, so the stuff that brings your internet to your door. It's used as catalysts for polymerization reactions. So this is in making plastics, things like that. So we need catalysts to get those reactions going. So there are germanium catalysts out there that do this trick. And quite interestingly, it's used in infrared detectors because it is transparent to infrared light. And so therefore, it's used in infrared night vision goggles, for example. And germanium dioxide, the oxide of germanium, is also very, very interesting because it's got a very, very high refractive index and a low dispersion. Do I need to explain?
Yes, please.
Okay, so the refractive index is all to do with the speed of light in a particular material. And dispersion is all to do with the speed of light of different colours of light in a particular material. And so if something's got a high refractive index and low dispersion, then it's going to be very, very useful in things like wide-angle camera lenses, microscope objective lenses, so you get nice clear images from those sorts of materials. And so these lens-type applications are the major use of the element at the moment.
I had no idea. Give me an interesting fact about germanium.
Have I not given you any interesting facts
Just
so
come on,
far?
Give me more.
Germanium dioxide, as I said before, so they're used in catalysts for polymerization, but particularly for the production of polyethylene terephthalate, or you may have heard of this as PET or PET.
Oh, they're really common drink bottles, aren't they?
Yes, indeed. So this isn't used in the US for various reasons, but very, very popular in Japan because using these types of catalysts, you get beautiful blue plastic colours out of this. And so very, very big in Japan, these particular bottles. And another nice, interesting fact for those of you who like words. So there's a compound, GEH4, which we might call germanium tetrahydride if we were being absolutely correct, but its trivial name is germane, which I quite like.
Oh, that's lovely. Now that brings us to some information that is very germane to the Elemental podcast. You can find this episode on germanium and the preceding 30 episodes online at rnz.co.nz/chemistry.
If you listen to us as a podcast, then it's more germane for you to know that you can subscribe to us for free on your usual app.
We're back next time with a very well-known element, gold. But until then, it's goodbye from me, Alison Ballance.
And me, Alan Blackman. We'll catch you next time.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.